I listened to a fascinating TED talk the other day, and here was the title: Boredom Leads to Brilliance. Boredom leads to brilliance. You think, in the next 25 minutes, I ought to become extremely brilliant, if that's the truth. You know, I thought that was an interesting statement, something I'd never thought of before, and yet I think Jesus believed that. You see, we would think this is crazy. I've been spending a lot of time with my grandchildren lately, and you know, the worst criticism of anything is, that's boring. Or, grandbuddy, we don't have anything to do. There's nothing to do. And the problem is, it's not just children saying that. Now as adults, I feel like I've got to fill my life with one exciting event after the other. I can never be bored. I've always got to have something to do. But Jesus knew that was dangerous. He didn't live that way. In fact, here's our theme verse for today, Luke chapter 5, verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Key word there, he withdrew. 10 times in the gospel, he withdrew. If anybody's time was pressed, it was Jesus. But he knew he needed to put life on pause. Often. And that's our theme today. Pause often. We come today to the end of our pause series. And I want to close out by saying we need to pause often. Because here's what's happened to most of us. Most of us have had to pause by crisis. And my challenge today is as we pull out of this, we need to pause by choice. Now let me say one thing. Everybody has not had this pause. Some of you are frontline workers. Some of you even working at home. Your level of work has even increased. And I'm sorry that you've not got to experience this pause like most of us. I would say to you honestly, the last 3 months are probably the slowest months of my life. And I've somewhat struggled with that. But again, I know some of you haven't had that kind of pause, but for most of us, we have. It's been thrust upon us, and we've had to learn to live with it. And hopefully, we've learned the power of pause. You know, I had you write down a couple weeks ago some of the lessons you're learning that you want to carry with you when you get through with this. And one of them must be that we must build pause into our life. You see, because this is a surprise, it is a real surprise that boredom leads to creativity. That TED talk, let me give you a couple of quotations from that. One positive, one negative. When you are bored, your brain gets busy. You see, your brain is always doing something. But when you're bored, it has a chance to do things it can't do otherwise. And then here's the point, the negative. We are less creative when never bored. You see, when your brain has freedom, it can begin to connect things. It can begin to dream. It can begin to put different analogies together like it doesn't do when you're focused. So hopefully we're learning that. And that's why people say that those growing up today are less creative than ever. And executives will say one of the number one things that they would like to find in hiring people for their company, number one quality in one survey, is to find creative people today. You see, here's the problem, is that we're too busy to be bored. You see, boredom leads to creativity. And yet our culture doesn't make room for that. I know as a minister, often I might be studying for a lesson. Not this week, but last week. I had studied and studied and studied, and I had pages of notes. I had great information, but I had no clue on how I'd put it together. So finally, one afternoon, I said, I've just got to get away from it. And so I put it to the side. I wouldn't let myself study the rest of the afternoon, the rest of the evening, until I came back in the office the next morning. In between then and when I came back in the morning, some connections had been made in my brain, and I could just quickly have a flow and an outline that at least made sense to me. And I think that's what happens. But when I keep myself too busy, those things don't happen. You see, we can always fill our time with more and more. Our time is so full, it almost has become impossible to withdraw. Now, that didn't just start recently. You know, generations ago when there wasn't electricity, obviously, when the sun went down and before it came up, there was an immediate time for pause. And then we saw different technology from the beginning of the radio. People griped about that, to television and what that did to our homes, to the computer. And now we can combine it all on this little device, this phone, this iPhone. And what's happened in that is a lot of good things. But what it has done is it's taken away opportunities to actually be bored. Because I can be waiting in line, you know, at the grocery store and get on my phone and quickly go do something. I can be at a red light, unfortunately, and check my phone. I can almost anything. There's always a reason for me to fill my time. Now, listen to this quotation. I think this is so fascinating. Technology destroys cracks in our day that jumpstart creativity. You see, it used to be there were moments in your day built in where nothing was going on and your mind was free. And so now we believe I can read my Bible, write my notes, check my phone, look for messages, all at the same time. We say we multitask, but the problem is psychologists say that's almost impossible. That you don't ever really multitask, that every time you shift from one to the other, your brain has to make a chemical shift. So psychologists say there's no such thing as multitasking. It's just moving from one task to the other. And we're wearing our brains out doing this. 10 years ago, the average person sitting at work switched their attention every 10 minutes. Today, we switch our attention every 45 seconds. We check our email an average of 47 times a day. Most Americans grow up now will spend a full 2 years of their life on Facebook. Now again, there's nothing evil about any of those things, but all of that switching depletes chemicals, which actually depletes creativity. I don't have that time for my brain to dream and to wonder and connect. You see, we think we must be productive at every moment. And this almost gives me away. I know so many people say the first thing they do in the morning is they check their phone. Last thing they do at the night before they go to bed is they check their phone. But what actually has happened is being this productive has not made us more productive. It's made us less productive. That's the truth. Now listen to this quotation. This is my favorite quotation out of the TED Talk I listened to. The only people who refer to their customers as users are drug dealers and technologists. That's pretty strong. Users. Why? Because the people who run Facebook and the people who run Instagram and the people who run Netflix and all those things, they have thousands of technologists who are dedicated to learn your rhythms so that they can make you more and more addicted to what they're doing. Even they are beginning to wake up to the danger of this. I've never had this happen, but I have friends. If you're vegging out on Netflix for hours and just going on and on and on, there's finally a screen that will come up and ask you, are you still there? Even the phone now will tell you how much time you've been spending on it because we know that we're getting addicted. Now, again, we've got some modern challenges of things that are not good or bad. They just have challenges. Now, the answer is for us, as Jesus would say, is to pause often, is to follow Jesus and pause often. You see, in order for us to do what we're talking about here today, we're going to have to fight for it. It's not going to become natural because of all the choices we have. Now, I would say that if ever we could relate to Jesus, this might be the time because Jesus had to fight for that time. He wasn't competing with the phone. He was competing with multitudes of people that were constantly pressing on him. And often Jesus, like we said, would withdraw. He even at times made his disciples a little bit ticked off because they'd go, here's all these folks who want to be healed. Here's all these people who need to be taught. And you're going off to be by yourself? You've got to be kidding us. But Jesus knew he had to have that. If ever you see the human side of Jesus, it's in him battling for alone time. What did he do? What did he pause for? Let me give you four examples in Scripture. First of all, for rest. Luke chapter 5. Yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. That's our Scripture. There's all these people pressing for teaching, for miracles. Can't blame them. But Jesus has to get away because Jesus himself needed rest. I like what John Ortberg said. Sleeping can be one of the most spiritual things you can do. And yet, I grew up in a time where we applauded people who lived with little sleep. I even remember hearing preachers say, we would rather burn out than rushed out any day. The truth is, you don't have to do either. And Jesus didn't. Jesus knew that rest, that sleep was important. Now, the medical world has acknowledged this way before the church. I mean, you just Google the importance of sleep. You need it for learning and memory. People who don't sleep enough don't remember things well. People who don't sleep much gain more weight. When you don't sleep much, it certainly affects your mood. It affects your heart health. It also makes you more vulnerable to every kind of disease, even to cancer. You say, okay, buddy, well, that's nice physically, but what are you trying to say spiritually? Listen to a quotation from an article I read called Spirituality and Sleep. It is hard to be gentle, patient, and self-controlled when I'm running on empty. In my relationship with God, it seems nearly impossible to discern his guidance, hear and obey his voice, or even pray when I'm fatigued, that it takes all of my energy to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You ever been there? I mean, fatigue does not lead to a good walk with God. I mean, we see it in little children. I mean, like I said, I'm keeping my grandchildren over the last week, some of them. And like my six-year-old grandson, Taze, you can know a distinct difference in his behavior the next day as to whether he got the right amount of sleep. 1 hour can make that difference. It's not just children. If you're a 23-year-old man, you're going to be more vulnerable to temptation through sexual immorality or even pornography with less rest than being rested. If you're a 35-year-old mother, you will probably be harsher with your children than when you had not got enough rest. Or you're 59 and, you know, you're tempted when you're tired to be rude to your wife. You see, this idea of rest is not just simply about you and I finding a great place to have a quiet time. It's about living like Jesus. And the fruit of the Spirit is going to be hard for you to display when you're fatigued and tired. So Jesus withdrew for rest. He also withdrew for recovery. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Now this is a very painful time in Jesus' life. John the Baptist is his cousin. He's been close to him from birth. John the Baptist is in prison. He's going to be put to death in a cruel way. And Jesus is hurting. And Jesus didn't do what many of us would do. He just barreled through the pain. He withdrew because he needed his soul to be healed from the loss. When you're discouraged, one of the best things to do is to withdraw. When you're disappointed in life or even yourself or someone else, it's best to withdraw. When you've been going through endless demands of life, you don't just withdraw to heal your body. you withdraw also to heal your souls. You see, alone time gives us a space for our souls to heal. And then Jesus, third, he also withdrew for renewal. Jesus, John chapter 6, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Now, this is a crazy time. Jesus is at the height of his popularity. This is the miracle worker. This is the greatest teacher they've ever heard. Certainly, he deserves to be king. And they're coming by force to make him become king. And Jesus instantly withdraws. Now, this is my personal opinion. I think the number one temptation that our Lord had on this earth was to take the shortcut to become king. It's the temptation that Satan laid before him when he's in the wilderness. It was the temptation that Simon Peter laid before him when he rebuked Jesus for saying he was in die on the cross. And it's the temptation here in John chapter 6 when the multitude say, let us just go ahead and crown you. You don't have to become king by going through death. You can become king by popularity. And Jesus knew he was tempted, I believe. I know some of us struggle to even use that word with Jesus, but the scripture says Jesus was tempted in all ways as we are. And I think his number one temptation, makes sense to me, would be to avoid the cross and make it to be king. You see, he needed that time of renewal. He needed that time to renew his vision. Why has he come to this earth? Not to be an earthly king. He knew his vision. He put it succinctly in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus knew to keep his mission and vision clear, he needed to withdraw. And for us, here's what happens in my life. If I just keep myself constantly busy, my life becomes just a task list. And I'll be honest with you, I sort of get a high off marking things off my day timer. No, that's old fashioned. But if I'm not careful, it just becomes a list of tasks that I need to achieve by the end of the day and end of the week. And I lose why God put me here. I lose the broader vision. I forget the why. I forget the big picture. And so one thing withdrawing does is it allows you to renew and to remember why you are living in the first place and the vision and mission God has put you on. And then there's one more. Jesus withdrew for revelation, for God to reveal his will. Look at Luke chapter 6. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them whom he designated apostles. You'll notice before every big decision, Jesus withdrew. Here's one of the biggest decisions he would make on this earth. Who's he going to leave his kingdom to? Who's he going to give the keys to the kingdom? These apostles. And so before he chooses them, he doesn't just trust his gut level feeling. He withdraws to hear the voice of God. And Jesus understood what we must understand, that to hear God's voice, you must create space and silence. It's hard for God to get through when my schedule is so packed. It's hard for me to hear the voice of God when there's constant noise around me. Jesus understood this. John Ortberg also said this, solitude is the one place we can gain freedom from the forces of life that will otherwise relentlessly mold us. You see, guys, we've got so many forces around us that are trying to mold us into being something different than what God has created you to be. And the only way to escape that is to get away from all those messages and all the media and all the people even at times, to be alone with God. Jesus needed to be able to separate the voice of the multitude from the voice of God so he could hear the voice of God. He had to separate himself from them so God could come through. Now, wow, if Jesus needed that, I need that. So do you see those four reasons that Jesus paused? I mean, just look at them for a second with me. He paused to rest and to recover and to be renewed in his vision and to hear the voice of God. And like I mentioned at the beginning of this message, if ever we see the human side of Jesus, that he needed the same things that we need physically, emotionally, and spiritually, we see it in this message. And again, we've said this 1,000 times, but if Jesus needed this to stay on track, how in the world can we think we don't? You see, friends, we can either follow Jesus in this pattern, or we can pay a steep price. You see, I don't think God's calling us just to put life on pause and just be goof-offs the rest of our life and do nothing. But what he is calling us to do is to create a rhythm in our life where pause is included. If not, we don't perform very well. You know, college students, tests say you would be much better off to go take that test and not pull that all-nighter. You lose something when you're walking into that test. You know, your studies would say to all of us that, you know, just pushing and pushing and pushing doesn't make you more productive. In the long run, will make you less productive. It reminds me of the law of gravity. I could be bold enough, arrogant enough to say that I will break the law of gravity. Try it. Go jump off a mountain. Try to fly on your own. You will never break the law of gravity. Here's the sad truth. The law of gravity will break you. And when it comes to what we're learning today, you can try to break all the rules. You can say, I don't need as much sleep as other people. You can say, I don't need these breaks. I don't need these pauses. I don't need Sabbath in my life. But in the long run, it's going to break you. So here's our challenge, is that we pause by choice. As you're writing down those lessons, as we're beginning to come out of the pause, I mean, we see it. You notice that traffic on the road is back to where it was. You see all those pictures from Memorial Day weekend? I mean, even, you know, churches are reopening, and we'll be one of those churches very soon. I mean, things are beginning to come out of this back into at least some sense of normalcy, and it hopefully can continue to evolve in that way. But here's what I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget what I've learned. I don't want to forget what taking a break means. I mean, I'll tell you this. I've been less stressed. I've been less anxious. I've actually slept better. And I've never had a good history of sleep in my life. And so what I want to do from this is I want to build in some time of daily pause and weekly pause. And I want to challenge you to work on this yourself and start building those into your life. Those need to be the non-negotiables. You see, in my history, these are the things that I often, when I get in a hurry, say, I don't have time for that break. I don't have time to take a Sabbath this week. And our challenge is to learn from what we've been through and to put it into practice. Often, that's where we started today. Jesus withdrew often, and so must we. So please take this to heart. I love the catchphrase we use at the beginning. Boredom leads to brilliance. I'd never put those two words together. But after studying the life of Jesus and just the research that surrounds this, there's no question that's a part of modern life that we're losing and we're paying a price. So, let Jesus give you excuse to take breaks, to build in pauses, to have sabbaticals, to take vacations. Oh, work hard. but rest well. I know for some of this, this is a bigger challenge than to others. I know my temptation is going to be to go back to normal. I know I need prayers. You may need prayers about this. Let's pray about this right now. Oh, Father, Lord, you're teaching us so much. I pray that all of us are living in a way that's open to what you're trying to say to us. I know for some people this has been a really easy time. For some it's been difficult. For some their schedule's been turned completely upside down. For some their schedule's been actually become more busy. But Lord, I pray for all of us that we are learning that life does not always stay the same, that our life and our schedules can be totally interrupted at any time, and that the most important thing we have is our relationship with you, our connection with you, and that we will learn from this almost forced pause to choose to pause, to follow the footsteps of your son Jesus. That's who we claim to follow. That's who we want to be like. But we're not going to be like him without this. Father, I confess for myself and probably lots of other people that I'm tempted as things are picking back up just to go back to my normal schedule. God, protect us. Help us to get specific. Help us to get concrete about these plans. And Lord, God, help us to take pauses by choice so we can be more like Jesus. I pray in his name, amen. We're about to close our service today. And I want us to close with a song, Great Things. One of the things I've heard the most comments about as we've been doing virtual services is the virtual worship team that our people worked so hard. And they did it on this song, Great Things. This song says, God, you have done great things. Oh, God, you do great things. And I want to say to you confidently that I believe that God is doing great things through this pause. And I believe he's preparing us to come out of this more focused on our mission, more thankful for everything we have, more in love with God and more in love with each other. And I think he'll do even greater things. So this will be the final thing in our service today. I pray you'll listen, participate with this great song, and let's dream together about how God does and will do great things in our life. God bless you.